So next, we have a presentation by Dr. Sarah Bass, who is Associate Professor of Public Health and Co-Director of the Risk Communication Laboratory at Temple University in Philadelphia. Her areas of expertise include risk communication and health literacy, especially in the areas of chronic disease, bioterrorism, and infectious diseases. Her research has utilized perceptual mapping and vector modeling methodologies to better understand public perceptions. Dr. Bass has also published and presented at both the local and national levels and sits on the Healthy People 2010 and 2020 Health Communications Subcommittee. Please welcome Dr. Bass.
Good morning, everyone. So today what I'd like to talk a little bit about is the methods that we're using at Temple in the Risk Communication Laboratory. We've used them in a variety of different ways, including this latest project looking at HIV. And we're looking at the barriers that urban minority patients might have to becoming part of clinical research. So, you know, here's the disclosure. No disclosure. So if we think about what the problem is here in the United States with HIV, we know that HIV and AIDS disproportionately affects African American and Latinos. And then they're also underrepresented in research, especially HIV clinical trials, in both behavioral as well as treatment trials. And, you know, whatever you think about treatment trials, they certainly have played an essential role in trying to produce new HIV treatment and medications, also trying to develop guidelines for the timing of antiretroviral treatments, and also evaluating behavioral interventions that might help keep people safe from infection or from continuing infection. So what we were trying to do was use our communication methods in the risk communication lab to try to understand how minority patients might perceive the benefits and barriers to participation in clinical research, and to understand if gender might be a specific way to look at how messages may need to be developed to encourage participation in clinical trials. So one of the questions we ask ourselves in the risk communication lab is, how do we see inside someone's mind, right? So even MRIs can't really say what's happening inside someone's mind. And most of the time with research, what happens is we do paper-pencil surveys and we do ANOVA analysis and we see correlations and we say, okay, well, we think this is what's happening. And what we're trying to do is can we visually think about how people are perceiving barriers or barriers to participation or benefits of participation in a more visual way to understand how they're grouping conceptually different barriers and benefits. So at the Risk Communication Lab at Temple, we are using these two methods, so perceptual mapping and vector analysis. And some people have heard of cognitive or mind mapping, used quite often in psychology. They're also used in marketing quite a bit. Our perceptual mapping methods are quite different in that they don't require a respondent to make really complex cognitive associations. So, for instance, cognitive mapping often requires a respondent to sit down and say, this I think is like this, and this is I think like this, to develop a cognitive or mind map. Instead, our software, which was developed by my co-director, Tom Gordon, converts scaled judgments into distances that are similar to a real geographic map. And the input associations into the software among the risks and benefits of a health decision or some attribute that they think of a health decision, in this case it would be participation in a clinical research trial, are derived from the interatom correlations of the elements and then converted to just a 0 to 10 scale base. So the software performs a metric multidimensional scaling analysis, and the production is a graphic 3D model that shows the distances that someone has among these elements without them really consciously understanding or knowing that those are there. The resulting maps display the risk-benefit elements that are relative to each other, and then also relative to the self, or the aggregate self in this point, if you've got many people in a study. So what the maps are trying to do is provide a snapshot of the respondents' conceptualization of whatever the situation you're looking at, and try to reveal the relative importance of different elements. The second piece to our analysis is what's called vector modeling, and vector modeling is done to help with message design. So it's kind of based on the push-pull principles of physics. We all remember high school physics, right? Where a target vector is, as well as a number of important concepts, are identified to start a mathematical vector resolution process, and the software that we've developed creates vector resolutions and rank orders the solutions for a best fit to a final message. The decision aid, or whatever it is that you're going to develop, whatever the messages are that you're going to develop, is designed to include and illustrate the concepts that are identified as critical for helping move that person towards whatever the decision-making process is. So this is what our perceptual maps look like. These are the aggregate maps, meaning for our whole sample study. I'm going to talk about the specific gender ones in a second. And as you can see here, there were a number of elements that we were looking at. So things like barriers such as I don't trust research, or I don't want to be a guinea pig, that HIV is a conspiracy, that if I participated in a clinical trial, it would reveal my HIV status. You would also see some positive attributes, so things like I'd get extra care by being in a clinical trial, I'd get the latest medications, might give me peace of mind to be in a clinical trial. And so you can see these are conceptually related to each other by the different colors. So you've got orange are very negative attributes of participation, the purple are positive, the green are more information needs, right? I need to know more about risks and benefits. I need my doctor to recommend this for me. I need compensation. And you can see the little red dot in the middle that's kind of a different size is actually the aggregate self. So this is everyone averaged in the study and how they are conceptualizing all of these things. The yellow star, then, is the actual likelihood to participate in a clinical trial. So as you can see, it's pretty far away from self, which means there's still a lot of convincing to do in this particular sample to get them interested in participation in clinical trials. On the other side, I guess it's on the right, is the vector modeling process, which is if these are the concepts that people are understanding about clinical research, what are the major messages that we might have to encourage them to do? And like I said, it's push-pull just like with physics, where you're trying to, with the red dotted line, get them towards the goal of considering participation in clinical research. Then we may have to pull them there by emphasizing in our messages things like that it may help other people, that it will provide you peace of mind, and trying to push away from some of the negative affects like being afraid that the meds won't work or that they're not safe. So for the measurement process, it's a simple survey that we use, and it's usually a series of statements that people have to agree or disagree on a scale of 0 to 10. So for instance, they might be asked, clinical trials use people like guinea pigs to experiment on, and they would say on a scale of 0 to 10 how much they agree or disagree with that statement. This would be another one. I worry that other people will find out my HIV status. I wouldn't want to be part of a clinical trial because HIV is a man-made virus and there's already a cure. So based on this survey, then we run a correlation matrix, simple correlation matrix in SPSS or SAS, and then we put that into our perceptual mapping software to develop the maps as you just saw. So the survey itself was developed based on literature review of previous studies looking at barriers to participation in clinical trials. We also conducted three focus groups that were stratified by gender and whether or not they had participated in any type of clinical research to understand some of those major barriers, and then created the survey. So the questions were organized into two blocks of questions that were conceptually related. So block one was just 14 statements that were related to participating in HIV clinical trials, and block two were 12 statements that were related to their perceptions of the advantages and disadvantages of doing that. So this study was done in the comprehensive HIV program at Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia. We surveyed 50 adult minority patients who were part of the clinic there, who were there for clinical treatment. They were approached in the waiting room, and if they agreed, they were taken to a private room. The research assistant went over the survey with the folks to make sure that they understood, because we have a fairly low literacy rate in our clinic, and they received a gift card and transit tokens. So the sample was predominantly African American, 94%. We also had about 6% who were Latino. 56% were women and 44% were men. And about 82% had either only graduated from high school or had not graduated at all. And the mean age was 47. So what we were interested in, the first set of maps that I showed you were the overall sample, all 50. What we then did was look at, could we see differences between men and women and their participation in clinical research. So, and then we also broke it out by, would they consider a medical trial clinical research study, and would they consider being in a behavioral clinical research study, because we thought it might be different, and in fact it was quite a bit. So this is the perceptual map for men. As you can see, the self is the little red, I don't know what you call that little thing, but it's not a square, is the aggregate self for men. The yellow star is the consideration to be in a medical trial, and the pinkish-reddish star would be the consideration of a behavioral trial. So you can see for men, the self is still very far away. So similar to what we saw in the overall group, we're seeing quite a distance between men and their willingness to participate in either a medical or a behavioral trial. So they were specifically more concerned with disclosure of their HIV status, their fear of experimentation, and not knowing about HIV clinical trials. These variables were located close to self, and men also expressed more distrust of the medical system and researchers, and clearly doubted the origin of HIV. So we saw a lot of that. While distrust and fear of experimentation were significant barriers among men, other barriers included not wanting to disrupt the balance of their current medical regime and fear of being in a placebo group. So this is the women's perceptual map. Still see the red self, the consideration of medical trials and behavioral trials. And you can see here we have a much closer distance relationship between the self and their willingness to participate in both clinical and medical and behavioral trials. The perceived issues around medication were the significant barriers to participation for women. So medication barriers included the fear of losing the stability that their current medication regime provided, and the medication, the fear that it wouldn't work in their bodies. Women were also grouped the concepts closely to being in a placebo group and experiencing side effects to the drug. So some of the conclusions here, in all the maps, the aggregate maps for the whole sample as well as the separate maps for men and women, self was always positioned closer to participation in a behavioral trial than a medical trial, which makes sense. right? So you may take a lot less chances in a behavioral trial than you do medication. For both benefits and barriers to participation, there were significant differences between men and women. Conclusion is then is that the differences indicate that the decision aids would need to address the very specific concerns. So, for instance, men were much different in that they felt that HIV was a man-made virus, and, you know, we heard comments like, you know, why should I participate in this? They already have HIV cured, and I'm just, you know, we're just putting money into white people's pockets. So, you know, trying to address some of those concerns were much more important for men than they were for women. We didn't see that concept in women. And so the messages would need to either be separate for men and women, or we would need to develop messages that could address both the issues for men and women in one message design or decision aid. Perceptual mapping and vector modeling can also help us create a more accurate projection of how HIV minorities might perceive participation and apply, hopefully, those to message development. So last thing, just implications. Antiretroviral research is largely contingent upon successfully enrolling subjects in HIV clinical trials that are involving drug therapies. And this is vitally important to enroll minority populations who are most adversely affected by HIV, who participate in clinical research much less. And what we hope to do then is to increase minority participation in clinical trial by examining some of these perceptions and trying to address culturally competent and developmentally appropriate messages that address these issues. And that's my contact information. If anyone has questions, I know we're going to have them tonight or later tonight. I'm thinking ahead. I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.